Don't panic. For the next hour, let Steve and Paul talk you down from that ledge. They're the hosts who won't cop out when there's panic all about.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Vinson, that's Paul Schultz. And nothing you're about to hear is true.
Word.
Welcome to the kinder, gentler Don't Panic Radio Show. We're going to apologize in advance, or as I like to call it, ask for pre-forgiveness. I did that in a meeting today, like with some executives. Like, We took them a project update where we're having to change the scope of the project, And we basically presented it in a very like matter-of-fact way, And one of the directors is like, so it doesn't sound like you're asking us for permission, it sounds like you're just informing us. I go, I prefer the term we're asking for pre-forgiveness.
That's right.
he's like, well, I don't see any other options, so good luck. So we may be explaining things a little more this week, the various segments that we do, because we expect to pick up dozens, if not half dozens, of new listeners as Paul's buddy takes us to places we've never been before.
We can only hope.
Not to mention the plan that I have, which is, pimping the show out to my Facebook followers.
Right.
Which is a thing. People do that.
I've heard stories.
There's this network marketing thing called It Works. Tolan's doing it. Remember we talked about him selling Tupperware?
Yes, yes.
Tolan is at our sister show called Do It Indie Radio Hour. And it is sister because those guys are more like chicks than we are. Right? I mean, he's selling Tupperware.
Yeah, right? It doesn't get much more chick than that.
You know who sells Tupperware?
Who?
Chicks. So anyway, it's called It Works, and I think it's some kind of weight loss thing. And no sooner did I see that than I saw another Facebook friend and another Facebook friend. Next thing you know,
and so on. And
my
so
whole feed's on. Gone from politics 6 months ago to now it's all weight loss supplements. The whole damn feed's full of weight loss supplements. I'm getting a contact diet.
You lost 5 pounds just reading your feed?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be my new book.
There you go.
Lose weight. Become better looking. Get more chicks by just sitting around reading your Facebook feed.
Usually it works for me.
Well, you're reading more than just your Facebook feed.
That's
you're reading
true.
Your MeChat or Snapline or whatever the...
Whatever the kids are doing now.
Yeah. Tender. Tenderest.
I'm willing to bet there is something called Tender.
Tender? I just met her.
That's right. Yeah. I'm just going to leave it at that.
But it's a thing. So, you know, I'm going to start doing that with the show. And if I'm going to do that with the show, it's gonna have to be like now with 50% less rape.
That's right. Well, there's the first one.
Damn it. I already screwed it up.
It may take us a show or two.
Well, yeah. Or three or four. Well, who knows? We'll probably slide back into whatever after two or three shows. Here's the thing. You know, I'm just going to ask for a favor. And we've done this before, and it has yielded absolutely zero results. So why not do it again? I mean...
What's
doing the
hurt?
Same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Isn't that called wisdom?
That's called marriage.
The thing I posted was marriage is mostly yelling what into another room.
That what? is true. Can we just stop yelling to other rooms?
That's my thing. If the person you want to talk to is not in the same room as you, don't try to talk to that person.
I love it. My kids will be in the living room, and I'm in the kitchen, and I got the dishwasher going, the fan over the stove going, the garbage disposal going, and all I hear is like, and I'm like, what? It's like, I can't hear. And then, like, my son, he'll be talking to me, and, like, sometimes he kind of goes on and on and on, and, like, I'll stand there with, like, my finger on the garbage disposal, and he'll open his mouth. I'm like, brr, he'll stop, brr, he'll stop, brr, and he'll just keep trying to get one word in at a time. It's like, Dad doesn't want to talk right now.
But our kids are like that with the GPS voice directions. They'll be like, and then I told my friend that turn left at the next intersection. She said that she was going to turn left in 100 feet. I told her that I was going to now turn left.
Because you're so at that point where, like, everything is like 100 feet, you have to make a left. 10 feet, make a right. And you know, it's like, I can see the back of Bennigan's from here. I can find it. You don't gotta tell me how to go through the maze.
Well, that whole GPS thing, they need a button that says, you don't have to tell me every little single thing, right?
All right.
I don't know that that's what they should write on the button. There's some human factors person could figure that part out, like what to put on the button. But there ought to be a button that says, I live here. I just need to know the best way to get to work right now based on traffic and everything.
Yeah.
I don't need you to tell me in 200 feet, take the here's the one I love. You know how when you're in a city, like they combine the highways. So you'll have like here it's like in 2 miles, take exit 89 for I-70 west, I-465 south,
right.
I-74 yes. west, Indiana 37. And then it's one of those when you get there, like there's the exit, and then the exit like splits. One way goes one way, and the other way goes the other way. So she's got to tell you every damn possibility. And then like 35 feet later, she's got to tell you then stay to the right. Like she'll be like, stay to the right, and then stay to the left. And then it's like, what is this, a line dance? It's like, stay to the right. Clap your hands.
I couldn't think what that horrible thing was called.
All right. So introducing our first new segment of the week, the rant of the week. I just decided it's going to be about it's what I can't figure out. Google, Apple, all the ones making the map applications on the phone that mm-hmm. have the person telling you what to do, right? Mm-hmm. Their people use the thing. You cannot tell me there's not one person in Mountain View or Mountain Home or Mountain whatever the hell place where they build this stuff out in the Bay Area of California, Silicon Valley. They all use it. You know mm-hmm. they use it. Isn't one person coming in and going, you know, sometimes that's useful. Like if you're in an unfamiliar city, you know, and you kind of need every little detail because you're going to get lost if you don't get every detail. Sometimes you need that. Sometimes you don't need that because you live in the city. You've driven this way before. You just need some hints along the way so that you can avoid traffic jams, right? Not one person in the room who decides what the next upgrade is going to have in it has said that they need to do something about that.
Right.
Are they intentionally pissing us off? I don't get it. I don't get it. The technology's there. It would be easy. You would just tell the application, say, you know, don't give them give them the 2 mile heads up, and then tell them which the exit number. That's all I need. Just tell me which way I'm going today because there's a traffic jam over there. I'm going to start a company, and all we're going to do is sit around and tell other companies what they should do. Because I do not have the energy to build an app and market it and all that stuff.
I think you're onto something there.
Well, yeah, the company that just tells other companies what they should do.
Those are called in-laws.
Right. So I listened to this one podcast, and today it's not for entrepreneurs. And a lot of times you just hear, you know, kind of BS stuff. They're like, oh, believe in yourself kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, I need a little more than that. Need yeah. some specific things, right? But the other day, they interviewed Gene Simmons. And the way they built it up was Gene Simmons is not only the co-founder and lead singer of the most one of the most successful rock bands in history, but he's also an entrepreneur. And, you know, through licensing deals, has made millions of dollars and blah, 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 right? It's like, ooh, maybe we'll get some insights on entrepreneurialism from Gene Simmons. One of the first things he says during the interview, he's like, entrepreneur, you know, there's an extra R in there a lot of people don't know about. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's your big insight? There's an extra R a lot of people don't know about in the word entrepreneur? Excuse me, entrepreneur.
I don't know. I think he's a joke. I think he...
Look, how dare you? The man is a national treasure. What I didn't know... Okay, here's what I did not know about Gene Simmons. His mother grew up in Nazi Germany, and her entire family was killed. Somehow she survived and made it to Israel, and he was born in Israel.
I knew he wasn't born in the States. I just didn't know the whole story.
Did you know he was Jewish?
That I did know, yes.
Because he's mentioned in the Adam Sandler song? I'm not even sure if he is mentioned in the Adam Sandler song. So one of the funny things is that this podcast, this guy has a lot of guests on who, like the kids these days would call it like life hacking or, you know, hacking is what they would call it. Not to be confused with a hack, but like the hacking, the type of hacking that's like, oh, well, here's an easier way to do something. You
yes,
know?
Hack and, has become a positive for some strange reason.
Right. Yeah. And so usually he has people on there that are like, oh, well, if you just follow this, like you, it's not to do this thing isn't as complicated or mysterious as it needs to be. You know, it's more, it seems more mysterious than it needs to be. Here are the specific steps you can follow, right? So he has people on that talk about that. Well, he asked Gene Simmons, he's like, so what would be the, you know, what wisdom or insight could you give people? And he's like, well, you just work hard. You just have to work hard. That's all. He's like, there's a lot of self-help people out there writing books. And he's like, it's mostly bullshit. He's like, you have to work hard. Show up. You got to have a fire in your belly. I'm like, oh, man, he is dropping some wisdom right now. You have a fire in your belly. All right. Gene Simmons.
The sad thing is that's actually how they managed to get where they were. They basically worked their ass. I mean, I'm not a Kiss fan, but they worked their asses off to get. They just did in the early days.
So what I would say about Gene Simmons is he's probably smart. They worked their asses off, right, to get where they were. They probably, if they stopped and like thought about giving advice to somebody else, they probably do have some things that would say, yes, work your ass off, but here are five things. If you do these five things, working your ass off will pay off quicker than if you take here are some shortcuts, in other words, some things we learned along the way.
Yeah.
Which my guess is he doesn't really know what those things are.
No, I don't think they actually had them.
But he was smart enough to get, and maybe you're right, maybe somebody around him was smart enough to get like trademarks on their makeup, you know, and do the action figures and do the licensing deals, because they've made a ton of money on that stuff.
Dude, he tried to trademark the devil horns.
You can't do that.
He tried. He didn't make it. He claimed he invented it.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, shotgun approach. You just try to trademark everything, and maybe if you get 10%.
Well, what was it? Was it Paris Hilton tried to patent or copyright that? It's hot.
I want to trademark six of one, half a dozen of another.
The thing about Kiss, though, is like, yeah, all right, they worked their asses off. And the reason why he doesn't have any good advice is because it was a lot of hard work, but then sheer dumb luck.
Well, yeah, he mentioned that, actually. He said luck has a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Their first couple albums, they wouldn't really sell. Somebody decided, because it was cheap, to do a live album. Was it Kiss Alive or whatever it's called, came out, and that was it. That was it. They were playing arenas and stuff by shortly thereafter. So it was all luck. It was a little bit of hard work and a lot of luck, I guess. I don't know. See, I'm kind of jaded. I watched... He had a reality show years ago. And he is such a whiner. I'm like, here's the guy who, like, you know, spit blood on stage and breathe fire, you know, and he's such a complains and whines about everything. And it was like, wow, is that really the image you want to put across, is this whiny old man?
That sort of came through in the interview. The host asked him how he felt about the state of music today. And the first words out of his mouth were, well, he had just gotten done, because the interviewer said, how do you feel about the way the economy, the world, politics, everything's going? And he was like, we're better off than we've been in any point in history. He's like, everything's great. You know, things are wonderful. People need to see that. We need to stop complaining. And then he goes, well, how do you feel about the state of music today? And he goes, rock and roll's dead. Like, it's dead. He's like, here's what I tell people. He's like, from 1950 until 1988, you had the Beatles, you had the Rolling Stones, you had, and then he rattled off a bunch of, like, Elvis and all this stuff. And he's like, from 1988, which coincidentally is when Napster was invented and people started downloading music for free, now what do you have? You haven't had any of that. No Beatles, no Rolling Stones, blah, 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 blah. People, he's like, if you don't want to pay for stuff, then you're not going to get great stuff. He's like, dude, what is he, 67 years old? Like, you sound like a 67-year-old.
Trying to return soup at a deli. He's
yeah. Well, people that made pianos in, you know, the early 1900s were complaining about phonographs, right? See, you know, phonographs. When's the last great pianist been come along, right? It's like, no, just shut up. There's lots of great music out there. Yeah. You know, it's just not the spoon-fed stuff that you get on the radio. You got to go look for it. You know?
Yeah.
I was...
Which, boo-hoo.
Yeah. Right. I discovered this one artist. Her name is Courtney Barnett. I discovered her, like, nobody's heard of her, and she's great.
Mm-hmm.
That was for my lovely bride, so that she could yell at the radio.
Yeah, give her something to yell at. instead of the other room.
All right, let's see. Rant about GPS, secrets to Kiss's success, state of the music industry. I think we've worked our way to another segment.
Let's do headlines. Wait, are we doing a question of the week this week?
Yeah, we should. Should it be about should it be about GPS? Should it be about Kiss or state of music, or should it be something totally different?
Well, let's go with the music angle for a minute, because here's my thing. I'm sure you've seen the flood of 10 bands I've seen.
Yes.
One of which I'm lying about. I mean, you know. Yeah. And what kills me about that is they're a lot of fun, you know. But we can't have anything nice. We just can't. Because within like 4 hours of that thing circulating Facebook, there were people, at least on my feed, like, tearing the idea to shreds. I'm like, why? Because you never went to see a band? Well, but you know, some of my friends are basically like doing parodies of it. But some of them are just like ripping it apart. And it's like,
When you say ripping it apart, what do you mean?
They're poking fun at people making the list.
Like, in what way? What are they saying?
They were basically, you know, you people are silly. This is, you know, it's, oh, you know, another list. Ooh, because we haven't had those in a while. And I'm like, can't you just let them have fun, you know?
Right. That's called trolling. That is a classic, I think, that's classic trolling, which is anytime anybody puts themselves out there or puts anything out there to try to, you know, have a little connection.
Yeah.
Since these people don't ever feel connected to anybody ever, their favorite thing to do is to try to tear things down, right? That's how they get their joy.
Knowing what I know about the people who were posting those kind of anti-list band, you know, concert list posts, that's exactly the kind of people they are.
Republicans?
What's Republican backwards? I wouldn't say it in so many words, but yes, pretty much, yes.
How do they feel about Bill Nye, these people? These, hang on a second. These snackle boopers. That's snackle booper. That's it. If you spell it backwards, that's how you say it.
I think we should not concentrate on how to say it exactly backwards and just go with that.
Snackle booper?
Snackle boopers. These snackle boopers.
Those snackle boopers. Favorite snackle booper. Go.
I don't know how anybody could dislike Bill Nye. I really don't.
Check and see, we'll interpret them irresponsibly. Come on, baby, don't read the article. It's headlines.
You know, a lot of people don't realize there's an extra B in irresponsibility.
That's true, they don't. A lot of people don't realize that. So here's the thing. Every week, we have a little segment called Headlines, just like the song says. Mm-hmm. And also, just like the song says, we don't read the article. We interpret the headline in an irresponsible manner, which usually results in hilarious banter. So here's the other thing. By the time you hear this show, you may have read the article yourself. And you may know what it's about. If we get it right, you should be super impressed because we haven't read the article. And if we get it wrong, then, again, hilarious, right?
Yeah. And so let us know either way.
Yeah, like they're going to do that. Nobody ever tells us they're listening. The only way we find out people are listening is they make some comment that they could only know about if they had listened to the show.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. My sister wants us to do our next live show at her house.
Fine.
she now listens.
Oh, good. We love her. We've always loved her. We used to love her from afar. We would sit up late at night, get our telescope.
Wait.
What? What? I'm sorry. We're still live? We're still on the air?
Keep using that word, we.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. All right, this week I decided, as I was looking for headlines to irresponsibly interpretate, I was thinking, you know, science is a misunderstood topic, especially by people who don't understand science.
Generally
stands to reason, right? And more and more I'm seeing people, here's what people do. They take their thing, let's say religion, right? And uh-huh. They assume that other people's thing is just like their religion. So they'll go, oh yeah, well you believe in science. It's like, science isn't a thing you believe in. Mm-hmm. It's right. So it's not like there's this book of science and you go, yeah, this book here of science, I just believe everything in it. Whatever this book says in this book of science is what I believe. No, science is an approach. It's a process.
Yeah.
That says we will observe things and based on our observations, we'll try to make a prediction about what's going to happen next. And then we'll observe what happens next. And whether we were right or whether we were wrong, we're going to learn something.
Right.
And that whatever we learn, we're going to use the next time we try to make a prediction about something. Right. And it also is, so that's the future looking part, the and the practical side of science. That's how, it's like, there was one guy, I saw this video, and somebody, it was a scientist, and I forget what the forum was, but somebody asked him, like, well, but how do you know? I mean, isn't faith important? I mean, you have faith in science. I mean, he's like, I wouldn't call it faith. They're like, well, then how do you know science is right? He goes, well, it works. I mean, when you use science and things you've learned from science to build a bridge, the bridge stays up, right?
Right.
And you can drive over it and you won't crash through it. When you use science to design a rocket to go to the moon, the rocket goes to the moon and it comes back, right? That we use science for that. And so it's because it works. Does it work 100% of the time? No, it's not designed to. It's designed to sometimes fail, and that's called learning and using that for the next thing that you try to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's turning science to the practical side. Turning science to the historical side is trying to explain what happened before. You know, what? How did we get to where we are? Like the history of civilization or the history of humanity or geology or whatever. We use science to take educated guesses at what must have happened in the past. And then when we get new information, we try to see if it fits the model that we had, like evolution. They'll go, oh, that's what they call it, a theory, because they don't, it's just a theory. We don't know if it's true. No, nobody, I mean, theory means a system of explanations that fit, you know, that work. Every piece of evidence we find fits this system of information.
Mm-hmm.
And we're predicting that anything else we find will fit within that model. That's called a theory. It's not that we don't know or we don't have any proof. It's like every shred of proof we've had points in that direction. That's what is meant by theory.
Right.
As opposed to fantasy, which is a book that you found that you read it and it tells you what happened before. That's called fantasy.
Right.
Two rants in one episode.
I know, you're on a roll, man.
Because
All right. Welcome back to the show. Science-based headlines. Remember, we have not read the articles. All three come to us from Wired.com this week. A 130,000-year-old mastodon threatens to upend human history.
Well, I guess if you've been around that long, you can...
you do whatever you want, right?
That's right.
Is mastodons, that's a bald woolly mammoth, right? Is that what a mastodon is? I'm trying to remember.
I believe so, yeah.
It's like a giant elephant.
I always had a hard time. I always had a hard time differentiating mastodons from woolly mammoths. So I don't know.
Do mastodons have hair? I can't remember. Obviously, they don't anymore. I mean, come on. 130,000 years old. You probably have lost your hair by now.
They would have called them like woolly mastodons.
And the mastodon is like, well, yeah, I'm 130,000 years old. And I drink a fifth of whiskey and smoke two cigars every day. What's the secret to a long life, 130,000-year-old mastodon? Well, you got to moisturize and take care of yourself. That's all.
Coconut oil is your friend.
And you, I agree with you. You make it 130,000 years, you want to upend human history? Upend human history. That's what I say. How do you upend human history? And he didn't actually upend it. He's threatening to upend it. He's like, hey, you kids get off my lawn or I will upend human history.
Somewhere there's a painting of him like flipping over tables and stuff like Jesus, you know.
I'm going to upend these tables and human history. What is a 130,000-year-old mastodon? Why does he even care? If I make it to 130,000 years old, I'll just be like, whatever. I'm just going to sit here, smoke my cigars, drink my whiskey, try to get me a nice, young, 60,000-year-old mastodon, like, girl mastodon. Man, that's less than half your age. Hey, I'm an old man.
What would half your age plus, was it plus seven?
Seven.
Is that the rule? What's half your age plus seven to a
65,007 years old?
There you go.
Hey, she's 65,007 years old. She's a that's all right. Old enough to fossilize, old enough to sodomize. That's what I say.
Oh, shit.
We just lost India.
In parts of China. Oh. We were doing so well.
Get off my lawn. Get off my Serengeti lawn. You kids, if you don't get off my line, I'm going to call the police, and I'm going to upend human history. Damn kids.
You ever, in your life, run into one of those mastodons that you just shouldn't fuck with?
130,000-year-old mastodon ain't nothing to fuck with. I done told you. He's like, kids, these millennials, I'm telling you. I've seen millennials come and I've seen millennials go. I don't know what business a mastodon has doing anything with human history anyway. It's like, just stick to mastodon history. Jesus.
Yeah, why do you gotta like mess with our history now?
Maybe if you'd paid a little more attention to your own history instead of ours, maybe you wouldn't be extinct, right? Anyway.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
So I'm looking forward to reading that article to see what it's really about. Next one.
Yeah, send me the link.
Yeah, if I can find it. Hey. Just search for 130,000-year-old mastodon, and you'll see mastodon sitting in a lawn chair with, like, baggy shorts, and you can see up into his nether regions. It's like, man,
he's got his
cover that up.
He's got his can of PBR, you know, he's sitting out on his porch, you know. Just.
His ears are giant and they have hair coming out of them. I don't care. Think I care? You think that 65,007-year-old lady mastodon cares? She just wants my money. I had a 401k up until I was 65, and now it's just been sitting there collecting interest. Do you know how much interest you collect over 130,000 goddamn years? I'm set.
No, how much? No, I don't know, but I'm sure it's a lot.
Yeah, a lot. Did you ever read what was that? Oh, H.G. Wells. No, Orson Welles. No, who wrote The Time Machine?
H.G. Wells.
Yeah. He wrote, I forget what it was called, but the dude like went into a coma in like 1890 something, and then didn't wake up for like 500 years. And
I read that. Yeah,
he had some money in the bank, and it accumulated interest and compounded and all that stuff till he owned basically the entire earth when he finally woke up.
Yeah,
I was like, what? How does that happen? This mastodon must be silly rich.
I'm saying he's like making it rain. He's like, yeah.
Bill Gates is like, please, mastodon, may I have some more?
What was the Chris Rock joke? If the mastodon woke up and had Bill Gates' money, he'd throw himself out the window.
That's right. He made 130,000 years and then commit suicide. Because he got busted down to Bill Gates. Well. All right. That's enough of that. Next headline. Do not mourn Cassini's long, slow descent into death. Now, I happen to know, I've not read the article, but I happen to know who Cassini is.
Wasn't he an Italian film director in like the 50s?
Exactly. I don't know who Cassini is, but it's a space probe that's been orbiting Saturn for a while.
Hmm.
It's apparently been out there in space for like 20 years, and it's taken a look at Titan. It's taken a look at Europa. You thought I was going to say Uranus.
I'm like, Myopa? What about Europa?
Myopa? I barely met her. Wait, what?
Europa? I barely met her.
So it's about to run out of fuel, which would mean, you know, it couldn't correct its orbits and all that stuff. Mm. And yeah. So they're going to just crash it into Saturn. They're going to take it. But before they crash it into Saturn, it's going to go between the rings and the planet, like, mm-hmm. 20 or 30 times. Like, it's going to orbit.
Right, right. And before it finally dies, it's going to reveal some shit. There's no denying it, you know.
Yeah. That's the theory. And weren't we told that we could have any other planet in the solar
except
system?
Except Europa. Yep, except Europa.
Except the one and didn't. Maybe that's why it's crashing, you know?
You know what? I seriously hope so. I really do.
Because why'd this come up all of a sudden, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It goes and takes it checks out Europa, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we got to crash it into Saturn. Like, what did they see when it got close to Europa? What are you not telling us about Europa? Some Greek guy is going, Myopa.
That's a brand of yogurt in Italy. I don't know.
Well, it'll be missed.
He'll be missed, but not mourned.
Not mourned. It'll be missed. R.I.P. Europa. I mean Cassini. This next one also comes from Wired. Transcribing audio sucks, so make machines do it. I happen to know a little bit about this topic. I didn't read the article. But there's a service that you can send them audio, and it's actually not a machine. Well, first of all, you can speak into your phone, and there's a voice-to-text thing, and then Google actually has the Google. There's a Google app where you can speak to it, and it will, you know, type out what you're saying. They all suck. Mm-hmm. There's another service that charges $1 a minute, and you can send an MP3 or whatever kind of file to them, and they actually have human beings transcribe it for you at a buck a minute. So a person will listen to it and like type it out.
Not like 1,000 chimpanzees sitting at typewriters smoking cigarettes.
Funny you should say that.
They got their headphones on and they're typing away.
Funny you should say that. It's not chimpanzees, but it's the same sort of theory. It's called a Mechanical Turk. There was apparently back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, back when all the cool shit was happening, right?
Right.
And this guy brought out this machine that could do calculations, right? It's mm-hmm. like a computer. So you would feed it an equation, and it would spit out the answer, right? And then he gave it even more complex questions, even more complex computations, and it would rattle around and make some noise, and it would spit out, you know, the answer, right? Well, it turns out it was just a like a metal box with a Turk in it, like a guy from Turkey, right? The guy from Turkey sitting in there, dude would feed it in, dude would write it out. It was like the Flintstones. You know, only it was a dude.
Instead of a little pterodactyl or a little mastodon.
It was a Turk. It's a Turk. And so it took on the name the Mechanical Turk. And so now that's sort of slang for anything that looks like it's been automated, but it's really just a person behind the scenes. The other way I've heard it described is like a duck gliding across a pond. You know, you look at a duck and he's like, gliding across the pond, it's really smooth, really peaceful. Mm-hmm. The water is just kind of rippling behind him. But if you looked under the water, his feet are just going crazy, right? Like that. That's how that audio transcription service works. Is what you do is you send in your MP3. They have some algorithm that divides it up, right? And sends it, let's say it's a 60-minute audio. It'll send it out to 30 different people. And each one of them will transcribe 2 minutes worth, and maybe they get 50 cents a minute or something. And then they charge you $1 a minute, and they, you know, that's how they make their money. The people transcribing it, you know, 50 cents a minute is $30 an hour, right? Mm-hmm. So they'll just keep sending them, well, I shouldn't say it that way. To transcribe a minute's worth of audio probably takes, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, right? So, but that's still going to make them like $10 an hour. And, you know, they're fine with that. But I don't know. I suspect that this headline is not that. And if I were to read the article, I could probably figure that out. But I hope you've learned a little something about science today.
I'm always trying to learn a little something about science.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. Then he's led to a fight, and a duel is due, and the red and the white and the blue will come through when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
Yesterday I put a post on Facebook asking my comic book warriors, like, what comic book topic would they like me to discuss on the show? And kind of cover, because admittedly, I'm out of the loop. I don't follow a lot of the newer trends, so I didn't want to just, you know, I wanted to like know what they wanted. And Ken Collison came through with spectacular flying colors with his response. And his response, I won't quote it exactly, but he wanted my take on what's going on in Marvel Comics right now with this thing called the Secret Empire. Marvel Comics Secret Empire is the new big thing in comics right now.
All
right. I think it requires a little bit of backstory in order to explain things properly. Back in the 80s, in the mid-80s, Marvel Comics started doing what are referred to now as events. The first event was the Secret Wars. It was a 12-issue miniseries that got a bunch of superheroes from all the different books of Marvel Comics together, and it lasted for 12 issues, and then they went their respective ways back to their own books, and that was it, and it was a lot of fun. And then a couple years later, they launched the second one, and it was an abysmal failure. Well, then they looked at what they did wrong, and they said, all right, well, let's fix that. That's the short history of an event. Now, it used to be like once a year, they would do these things called events, where across all their books, something would happen, and it would all be linked together. Well, now, it went from once a year to, like, it's all they do are these events in which they put out a separate title for whatever the event is, and this particular one is the Secret Empire. And then they're supposed to show how in all the existing titles, how this story affects these characters. The problem is when they do them so rapidly now, they don't give the writers of the actual books time to do anything. And last week was our live show, but the week before that, we were talking about comics and how they were alienating their fan base and things like that. Well, the weird thing about Marvel right now is, like, their movies are making so much money that you would think the logical thing to do would be to kind of assimilate into what's going on in the movies. Well, they tried that, and it didn't quite yield the result they wanted. So they decided to take the next logical step and alienate themselves from the movies. As a result, you have all these different changes in people, in characters, that the average reader, somebody walks in off the street, buys a comic, they're totally lost. Uh-huh. Well, yeah, it's and as a result, they're floundering in the market. Their sales are at an all-time low. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the X-Men Gold thing and how the sales spiked because that book was basically pulled off the shelves because it was controversial. Well, now with this Secret Empire thing, they launched a new controversy that has a lot of people just losing their shit, and deservedly so.
What is the controversy?
Captain America is a Hydra mole.
Oh.
Dude, Facebook exploded. People lost their shit. The only reason why I didn't was because I don't give a shit anymore. I just don't. But I had no real idea when Ken Collison had mentioned talking about this on the show. I had no real idea what was going on, so I had to do a little bit of research. Plus, my son has an issue of, like, the prologue for the whole thing. So I read that today and kind of brushed up on it a little bit.
For our listeners, Hydra is the arch enemy of Captain America.
And the free world.
All right. And Captain America is the hero of the free world.
That's correct. Here's the storyline as I've managed to piece it together. And I'll explain why people are losing their shit.
What would be like if you found out Kennedy, JFK, was a communist mole?
Yes, it is exactly that bad. Here's what happened. According to this book, the Axis powers won World War II.
Okay.
But just at the end of it, somebody used the Cosmic Cube, which I don't know if you've seen, like, any of the Marvel movies, but they refer to it as the Tesseract. It's the square that has all the power. Somebody used the Cosmic Cube to alter history so that that didn't happen. But before they could do that, Hydra basically put Captain America on ice. So that when he thaws out all these years later, he's basically a mole waiting for somebody to pick up the phone and go, "Miles to go before I sleep." And then he comes out of it and helps Hydra take over the world.
Hmm.
Now, typically, with an event, as big as it is, has no real impact on the rest of the Marvel Universe. Where this one differs is, in the end, you know the good guys are going to win, and they're going to reverse everything and fix it. But the problem is by saying, this is the true history, but it was changed, you have pissed off so many nerds it isn't even funny. Myself included in it. Because I have a lot of people on my Facebook friend list who own comic book stores. And I've heard conflicting sales results with this. Some people say, well, Captain America hasn't sold in years. It's selling now. Others have said nobody's buying it. I don't know who to believe in that case. But ultimately, when the next event comes out, none of this is going to mean anything anyway. But there's always going to be that underlying idea that this is not the true history. And that's why people are so pissed off.
No, I totally get it. I mean, when you invest yourself in something, it's like we've talked before. When you're doing any sort of creative work, you're making a deal with the consumer of your creative work, and you're saying, hey, you know what? Invest yourself in this. Pour yourself into it emotionally, and it'll be something genuine and authentic that you can experience, right?
Right.
When you pull the rug out from under somebody and go, oh, well, you can't really believe anything that that I'm telling you.
Yes. Like,
how is the reader supposed to get invested in it?
You know those past 40 years of your life? They don't really... No. None of that's real.
Right. You're basically saying, not only, you know, it's kind of like a reader can go, well, you know what? Whatever. I enjoyed reading it for 40 years.
Yeah.
It was great. But there's no way I'm going to keep reading, because how do I know that you're not going to like pull this again at some point?
Well, and they will. And that's why Marvel Comics is floundering, because we know they're going to pull it again. And we're sick of it. We can't get more than half a year into your story before you change it all. You've completely cut us off. We don't fucking care anymore.
You know what? Here's an interesting thing. One of the things I've heard from one of the business gurus that I pay attention to is he said, you have to stop thinking that you need to get more customers for your product. He said, you have to have more products for your customers.
Yeah.
So in other words, stop trying to make Captain America sell to more people, right? Stop going. Mm-hmm. So the comic book stores that said, hey, Captain America hasn't sold in years, suddenly it's selling again. It's kind of like it's selling to people who didn't care about Captain America or forgot about Captain America. And now they're only interested because you somehow morphed that product, right?
Yeah.
To get more customers. But in so doing, you pissed off your loyal customers.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? And you and I talk about this with sequels, regardless of how much I love sequels. not sequels. Reboots.
Yes.
Reboots. Sequels are fine. Reboots tend to piss me off because I go, or movies based on books that have nothing to do with the book, because I go, look, why not just do something new?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you have to reboot Star Trek? Why not just make a new great movie?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that to Marvel as well. It's like, stop fucking up the old characters. Just make new characters. You want to have a deep cover mole?
Yeah.
As a storyline? Fine. Make up a new character. But don't get people invested in 40 years of that guy and then turn him.
Mm-hmm.
Do like 5 issues where people are starting to relate to him and starting to root for him, and then have it revealed, you know, M. Night Shyamalan style, that he's actually a mole. Then people go, ooh, that was interesting.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Man in the High Castle, the movie, or the TV series has been doing. Mm-hmm. It's like, right when you kind of start rooting for a character, you go, oh,
yeah,
oh, I'm not so sure.
It's, you know? It's good for that. It really is. See, what's funny, yeah. What's funny is, you know, in all the years, I don't know, somewhere I failed. But in all the years that you and I have been friends, I've not been able to convert you over to reading comics. But you get what they're doing wrong.
Yeah. There you go. Well, you're coming close with the Watchmen, man. I'm really enjoying
it. Yeah, it's a handful.
Yeah. That's a good book right there. But it's not confusing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Don't confuse your readers.
Yeah.
Get out of their way and let them enjoy Marvel's just getting in the way. It's like,
yeah.
Let me enjoy my comic. Let me enjoy my heroes. I got enough complication in my regular life. I don't need you complicating my escape.
Yeah. And one of the other major problems with an event is they're easy. They don't let the writers explore character at all, because it's all about whatever the new event is has to one up the previous one. So it's all about shock. It's all about pretty art. It's just not about story. And you don't get to enjoy the characters. You know, you just don't. And it's just such easy. And I think maybe that's why they do them. They're just easy. They're easy writing.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
That's right.
It's weird, though, because, you know, if people who, and I am not even close to the people I'm about to describe. I'm talking about people who are really good at fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not great at it. I've met people who are, and they will tell you that if you have a character that people really are getting invested in and they like them,
mm-hmm.
the way to make them even more interesting is not to change the character. Is to throw another obstacle at them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what makes, like, so take Captain America. To make them more interesting and get people to want to buy more books, you don't have to change Captain America and make him something different. All you have to do is throw a new, like, make his life miserable.
Oh, yeah.
Again. Be a sadist, right? Throw the absolute worst possible thing in him.
Yeah.
Like, kill his family or have, you know, some terrorists approach him to try to convert him or present him with a dilemma, right? Like, either this family dies or that family dies. You know, present him with impossible challenges. That's when you find out, like, who is this guy really?
That's
right?
That's what Marv Wolfman, who's one of my absolute favorite comic writers, who's also one of the, like, masters of the craft. He's been around for 50, 60 years. That's his philosophy. Put your characters, like Nick Nolte said, you have to put them in the shit. Abuse them. Beat them up. Beat them down. And then you get to see who they really are. And that's when the readers fall in love with them.
I don't know how you felt about the Batman where Heath Ledger was the Joker, but that's one of the things I loved about that one, was he's just like, all right, here you go. Here's a situation where some large number of people is going to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's your chance to decide which large group of people is going to die.
Right.
Yeah. What's Batman going to do, you know?
Yeah, I enjoyed the first one in that series.
So we made it through the whole show. I think it was PG-13. So I think we're doing all right.
Yeah.
We'll be okay in India and parts of China.
I don't know. Your Mastodon joke. That might have put us over the edge.
I couldn't help myself.
That was funny.
130,000-year-old Mastodon is funny shit, man. In that case, for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing you just heard was true.
Shit.